Parados. Strophe 1.
Now the long blade of the sun, lying level east to west, touches with glory Thebes of the seven gates. Open, unlidded eye of golden day, O marching light across the eddy and rush of Dirce's stream, striking the white shields of the enemy, thrown headlong backward from the blaze of morning.
Polynices, their commander, roused them with windy phrases. He, the wild eagle, screaming insults above our land, his wings their shields of snow, his crest their marshaled helms.
Antistrophe 1.
Against our seven gates in a yawning ring, the famished spears came onward in the night. But before his jaws were sated with our blood, or Pinefire took the garland of our towers, he was thrown back. And as he turned, great Thebes, no tender victim for his noisy power, rose like a dragon behind him, shouting war.
For God hates utterly the bray of bragging tongues, and when he beheld their smiling, their swagger of golden helms, the frown of his thunder blasted their first man from our walls.
Strophe 2.
We heard his shout of triumph high in the air turn to a scream. Far out in a flaming arc he fell with his windy torch, and the earth struck him. And others, storming in fury no less than his, found shock of death in the dusty joy of battle.
Seven captains at seven gates yielded their clanging arms to the god that bends the battle line and breaks it. These two only, brothers in blood, face to face in matchless rage, mirroring each the other's death, clashed in long combat.
Antistrophe 2.
But now, in the beautiful morning of victory, let Thebes of the many chariots sing for joy. With hearts for dancing we'll take leave of war. Our temples shall be sweet with hymns of praise, and the long night shall echo with our chorus.
Scene 1.
But now at last our new king is coming, Creon of Thebes, Menoikeus's son. In this auspicious dawn of his reign, what are the new complexities that shifting fate has woven for him? What is his counsel? Why has he summoned the old men to hear him?
Enter Creon from the palace, center. He addresses the chorus from the top step.
Gentlemen, I have the honor to inform you that our ship of state, which recent storms have threatened to destroy, has come safely to harbor at last, guided by the merciful wisdom of heaven. I have summoned you here this morning because I know that I can depend upon you. Your devotion to King Laios was absolute. You never hesitated in your duty to our late ruler Oedipus. And when Oedipus died, your loyalty was transferred to his children. Unfortunately, as you know, his two sons, the princes Eteocles and Polynices, have killed each other in battle. And I, as the next in blood, have succeeded to the full power of the throne. I am aware, of course, that no ruler can expect complete loyalty from his subjects until he has been tested in office. Nevertheless, I say to you at the very outset that I have nothing but contempt for the kind of governor who is afraid, for whatever reason, to follow the course that he knows is best for the state. And as for the man who sets private friendship above the public welfare, I have no use for him either. I call God to witness that if I saw my country headed for ruin, I should not be afraid to speak out plainly. And I need hardly remind you that I would never have any dealings with an enemy of the people. No one values friendship more highly than I. But we must remember that friends made at the risk of wrecking our ship are not real friends at all. These are my principles, at any rate, and that is why I have made the following decision concerning the sons of Oedipus. Eteocles, who died as a man should die, fighting for his country, is to be buried with full military honors, with all the ceremony that is usual when the greatest heroes die. But his brother Polynices, who broke his exile to come back with fire and sword against his native city and the shrines of his father's gods, whose one idea was to spill the blood of his blood and sell his own people into slavery, Polynices, I say, is to have no burial. No man is to touch him or say the least prayer for him. He shall lie on the plain, unburied, and the birds and the scavenging dogs can do with him whatever they like. This is my command, and you can see the wisdom behind it. As long as I am king, no traitor is going to be honored with the loyal man. But whoever shows by word and deed that he is on the side of the state, he shall have my respect while he is living and my reverence when he is dead.
If that is your will, Creon, son of Menoikeus, you have the right to enforce it. We are yours.
That is my will. Take care that you do your part.
We are old men. Let the younger ones carry it out.
I do not mean that. The sentries have been appointed.
Then what is it that you would have us do?
You will give no support to whoever breaks this law.
Only a crazy man is in love with death.
And death it is, yet money talks, and the wisest have sometimes been known to count a few coins too many.